Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. In this podcast, we tackle the tough, often unspoken realities of motherhood, neurodiversity, and mental health. I walk back through the door and it's already loud. Not like background loud, sharp. Voices over the top of each other. My son's in the hallway, shoes half on, crying but also yelling, and my husband's in the kitchen, keys in his hand, looking at the clock and talking faster than usual. It has gone from 0 to 100 in 1 second. The 1 second that I was outside, I literally just took the dog out for a wee to take a moment, which is what I teach, isn't it? Self-regulation, go outside, take a moment, come back in. That's all good if shit doesn't go south whilst you're outside. I come back and it's on. My son, my husband, so similar in personality and neither of them are backing down. My immediate thoughts are, why did I go outside for even a second? Why can't they handle anything? Why can't they get along better? Why did I leave? It was fine before I walked out. Now I've got a 20 to 30 minute mop up here happening and I feel an overwhelming sense of, I need to fix this. I need to fix it. And I need to fix it right now. My husband starts saying, don't come then, I won't drive you. And my son just loses it. He starts saying, I'm not going. And now it's not about the boots, it's about everything and they are both escalating. And I go into stress, anxious, so I jump in. Hey, it's okay. My voice changes, softer, slower. It's okay, we're going to sort it out. We're all good. I look for my son's boots. There is one underneath the couch. Okay, great. Got the boots. I go over to my hubby and I say quietly, hey, why don't you just drop him in his Crocs and then he can just put his boots on when he gets there. And he says, yeah, but because we're late, he needs to have the boots on. I don't have time to do that when I get there. And I say, I know. It would be easier if he put his boots on before he got in the car. I get it. But I think it would be quicker if you just let him get in the car without the boots and tell him he has to put them on in the car while you're driving and you'll tie the laces when you get there. And I'm adjusting tone, pace, words all at once, trying to catch them both and meet a compromise. I get them both to the car. They've both settled down enough to get in the car together. My son's got his boots. He's promised to put them on in the car. My hubby gets to leave kind of on time. And they both backed off a little bit. Not fully, but just enough to move to get out the door. And I feel the shift when I step in, it seems to settle. And this is the part that's hard to see when you're in it. Because it looks like to me, shit's getting out of hand. I need to help out. I need to step in. I can see the boots, the time, the tone, and I can see that my son won't even get to the soccer, which will really upset the schedule that I've so painfully written out. And so I do the thing that I do. I step in and I wonder afterwards, am I controlling? Why can't I leave things alone? Should I have left it up to him? Maybe I jump in too early. And even afterwards, I can see that when I mediate both sides, I anticipate their reactions. I know what will set both of them off. And if I mediate between them, they'll be able to get in the car quite happily. When I soften my voice, I create a compromise that neither of them could see, and it lowers the temperature. And I'm not just helping out in the moment. I'm actually emotionally regulating both of them at the time. And that's what it is. But this ability is also the thing that keeps us trapped. Trapped where I feel afterwards that 5 minutes or that 3 minutes taking the dog for a wee and taking a few breaths for myself to self-regulate, I shouldn't have done because look what kicked off when I left. And this creates this constant cycle of scanning a room, seeing who needs me. Where can I interrupt the emotional escalation that's going to happen? What do I need to say? How can I adjust in real time? And this creates the hypervigilance that also keeps me trapped, that I don't get enough time to self-regulate. Because when it keeps happening over and over, it becomes a role. Not something that you just do sometimes, but something that the whole family or the whole interaction starts to rely on. Because if I hadn't have walked back in, it doesn't slow down. There's nothing in that moment that was going to regulate itself, so I became the regulation. And it worked. They got out the door, the situation was salvaged. But it also means that that interaction never has a chance to learn how to do that without me. And this is one of the reasons that why a lot of us feel so burnt out a lot of the time. Because really what we're talking about is emotional labor. And when this cycle happens, it becomes your role in the system and everyone relies on it. And this leads to seeing that moment is not a one-off, but is a constant need. And sometimes that can contribute to why a lot of us feel like we can't switch off. And I already know, as will you, how far it will go if no one steps in. So I step in. He hates the feeling of the boots. He wants to put them on at the last possible moment because they feel tight and restrictive and he's on school holidays. And so I sit in the middle, catching both sides before it tips. But when it comes to a point where I'm away for the weekend, it doesn't help me, does it? Because the same situations pop up. Different day, different boots, different thing, same pattern. Push, push, escalate. If we continue like this, we wear the cost. The mums. I step in the moment because I want my husband and my son to have a great relationship and I want to support them. And I can see how easy it would be to soften and sort this out, depending on how quickly I step in. But the cost is ultimately that when I want to go away for a weekend or I want to go out for dinner, those moments take place without me. And then it creates the feeling for my husband and for my kids that I must be there and for me as well. But that then wears a cost. Exhaustion, resentment, feeling like I can't leave, fatigue, silence, and role strain on my role as the emotional regulation in the family. So it looks like that I'm helping, communicating, I'm stepping in. But actually what we're doing is supplying the emotional regulation that's missing. So I'm not just helping out a moment, I'm regulating the whole thing for everyone. That emotional labor and mediation is draining. And once that emotional regulation role becomes ingrained that that's what you do, you're no longer in one conversation or one moment. You're holding it together all of the time. And I start to feel like I'm going mad. Like other mums just leave the house. I see them on social media. They go out to birthdays, they go out to lunch, they do things. And I'm here thinking, what am I doing wrong? It keeps happening. I feel like I can't just not be here. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a friend's house for dinner and didn't even take for me to arrive. And one of my kids was on Facebook Messenger video and he was crying on the driveway. And I tried to talk to him on video messenger with very poor internet to talk him off a ledge to get him to go inside. It was getting dark. And I felt like he's nearly seven. How is this still happening? So when I do leave the house, I don't always fully leave. Emotionally, I'm still thinking about it, anticipating it. What's going to set him off? What's going to push too far? And instead of my kids reaching out to my husband, who's there, ready to help, they send me messages on Facebook Messenger. They text me, they call, they wait for me to arrive back. Then I feel angry that I didn't get a proper break. But he often doesn't even know that these issues are taking place. And I feel this overwhelming pressure that I have to stay across everything. Because if I don't, it falls apart. And then I come back in, fixing, smoothing, holding it together. You can have kids of any age and have this happening. This could be you with an 18-year-old, still jumping in there, helping, sorting. But at the end of the day, there's a part of me that's tired, like properly tired, not from the one moment, but from the repetition. I'm feeling trapped, like I can't just walk out. I can't just leave because it doesn't just keep running without me. Because from the outside, I suppose it looks like I'm helping. I'm the calm one, the person who can talk to both of them, to everyone, who steps in, who keeps it moving. Like I'm maybe just better at handling it, better at reading it. Like I can see what's going to happen and stop it. And that's my hypervigilance jumping in and my people pleasing. And then I feel like, how do other people do this? Do they just not step in? Do they let it play out? Do their partners just handle it? Do their family just handle it? Because I don't even know what that looks like. And then I think, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm too involved. Maybe I don't give them the space to figure it out. Do I jump in too quick? Am I controlling? Is it because I'm always there, jumping into the middle instead of letting my husband handle it? And this is what that becomes if nothing shifts. Not just another moment, not just you stepping in again. You'll come back in, you'll hear the tone, you'll feel where it's going and you'll lower it, you'll translate it, you'll move through it. So the old path, the one that feels automatic, is I come back in, I regulate the moment, and that's the moment that gets everyone out the door, that looks like it's handled. And if I don't do all of it, then what? So if we bring this back around to the moment where I go out to take a breath for 5 minutes, like I teach on the podcast, I come back in and it's kicking off. I have choices in these moments. The first choice is to walk in and do what I always do and regulate it, create a compromise, sort everybody out and help them leave. That seems like in the moment, the easiest and quickest way of air quoting fixing it. But then that creates that emotional labor that a lot of us feel burnt out by. We come in, we soften, explain, redirect. The question is, do you carry every single interaction? Do you explain every side? Do you absorb it? If I don't explain every side, if I don't absorb it, if I don't step in quickly, it's slower, it's messier. In that particular morning, my husband would have been late and my son may or may not have arrived to soccer. And that is the part that feels wrong, because I know I can fix it. I know exactly how to fix it. And it wouldn't take me that long. I'm so good at it. But that gap, that bit that's not immediately smoothed over, that's the part that shows you what's actually there. Because when I jump in and take over, it calms faster, but the pattern stays the same. And when I don't, it doesn't resolve as cleanly. The gap is visible. And the fact that no one slowed it down is visible. And that's the trade. Fast, calm, you jump in, the pattern stays. The emotional labor stays. When maybe two or three or particular members of your family talk to each other. But by you stepping in and fixing it, you're also the reason that it still needs fixing. There's also a cost to me from doing that, because next time it's going to happen again. I'll walk back in after taking the dog for a wee and it will be building. I'll feel it. I'll feel a pull to step in. God, it's tantalizing, because I just want everyone to be happy and be okay. The automatic shift in my body, the tone change and the look of expectancy from both of them. Mum's here. It'll be all right. But the moment isn't neutral. It's not just you helping. It's the point where you decide, does this stay invisible or does this finally get seen? The situation is going to be different for everyone. But the old path of stepping in and completely sorting the whole thing is also creates the emotional labor that a lot of us feel. Maybe you don't carry the whole interaction next time. Maybe you don't explain each side. Maybe you don't come up with a compromise. And it's not going to be as smooth. And the gap is not going to be fully covered. Every time you step in and fix it, you're also the reason it still needs fixing. And this is what that becomes. It becomes a system where everything can keep falling apart, because somewhere underneath it, everyone knows that you're going to absorb the impact. You'll come back in. You'll hear the tone. You'll feel where it's going. You'll lower it. You'll translate it. You'll move through it. So in these interactions, your family members never actually carry its own weight. They just hand it to you. Because you can do it. It stops looking like pressure, which actually it is, and starts looking like just what you do. You're the mum, aren't you? Of course you're the one who can't leave for 10 minutes without it going off, because isn't that normal for mums? And so the cost doesn't sit with who started the moment that's become uncomfortable. The cost sits with the person who can feel the room the fastest and who jumps in. And this is why it gets confusing, when actually maybe you're not the one creating the instability, you're covering it. And this is where some ADHD mums start to confuse their capacity with what's actually their responsibility. Just because we carry that load doesn't mean it's ours, and it doesn't mean it's our responsibility. And over time, this costs us. We stop leaving properly. You stay half braced, half listening, half tracking. You're in the shower, but not really. You're outside with the dog, but not really. You're in another room, but monitoring the temperature of a house. So your nervous system stops trusting your absence. It learns. Don't fully drop, don't leave, don't fully let go. And that is such a brutal place to live from, because it means that your rest is never actually rest. Our leaving the house isn't really leaving. Receiving help isn't really help, because the better we get at restoring calm, the less visible the actual problem becomes. And this is why the pattern holds, because it works well enough if it reaches you. You make it survivable, because there's no emotional regulation inside that interaction until you walk in. And that becomes your standing role. That's strain, because you're carrying a job that the system has quietly given to you without ever saying it's a job. So the shift here is not you need to stop helping. It's just that you start to tell the truth in the moment what it actually is. The moment that you walk back in and it's on, that's not a neutral domestic moment. That is the exact point when unregulated interaction reaches for you. And once you see that, the decision changes. Not about whether you care. Of course you care. Not about whether you're capable to fix it. Of course you're capable to fix it. If you cover it automatically as your private load, you are going to pay a cost for that long term. But that is when it turns from a family dynamic into an identity wound. When the pattern keeps happening and the only part you can see clearly is yourself in it. I can't leave. I have to stay on top of everything. Why am I like this? But that's the misread. The truth is much more exact than that. You are not the instability of the family. You are the stabilizers. You don't cause it. You're the reason it doesn't go farther, and the reason why it's so difficult for us battling with burnout long term. We don't want this role to be our identity, because it's a draining identity, a skilled one, but it's also a costly one. And when you walk back into the hallway or the kitchen or the car, whatever version of this is yours, you will feel the instant pull to step in and hold everything. But remember in those moments what you're actually looking at. This is not proof that no one can do anything properly except you. It explains what you've been carrying, So next time this happens in front of you, maybe you still step in, but not all the way. Maybe you don't find the compromise. Maybe you give them space to try and work it out themselves. Then gradually in time, maybe you watch them and only step in when asked. Maybe you talk to your partner or family member about it. How do they feel about it? What do they need? Because you don't have to be the emotional regulation of every single situation in your home. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. See you next week.
Quick announcement. Did you know that we have an ADHD month shop filled with resources designed just for you? These resources are packed with answers to the most frequently asked questions I get sent in via email. Everything from understanding ADHD and autism to practical tips for daily life. There's also a free assessment tool. If you're wondering about ADHD or autism for yourself or your little one, don't forget to check out the free assessment tool under free resources section on my website, adhdmums.com.au.